Well, good morning. It's so good to be in the house with you, and Merry Christmas or Happy Thanksgiving. Merry Christmas, all of it. Big shout out to First Baptist Church of Mary Esther, who did a lot of the decorating in the house, all the Christmas decorating in the house. So if you see any of those members running around, tell them thank you and say give them a little blessing. But let's open up in the Word, John chapter 4. We're going to be starting in verse 27 today, and we're going to make our way through verse 42. John 4, starting in verse 27. Read with me. Just then, his disciples arrived, and they were amazed that he was talking with a woman. Yet no one said, "What do you want?" or "Why are you talking with her?" Then the woman left her water jar, went into town, and told the people, "Come see a man who told me everything I ever did. Could this be the Messiah?" They left the town and made their way to him. In the meantime, the disciples kept urging him, "Rabbi, eat something." But he said, "I have food to eat that you don't know about." The disciples said to one another, "Could someone have brought him something to eat?" "My food is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work," Jesus told them. "Don't you say there are still 4 more months and then comes the harvest? Listen to what I'm telling you. Open your eyes and look at the fields because they are ready for harvest. The reaper is already receiving pay and gathering fruit for eternal life so that the sower and reaper can rejoice together. For in this case, the saying is true. One sows and another reaps. I sent you to reap what you didn't labor for. Others have labored and you have benefited from their labor." Now many Samaritans from that town believed in him because of what the woman said when she testified, "He told me everything I ever did." So when the Samaritans came to him, they asked him to stay with them, and he stayed there 2 days. Many more believed because of what he said, and they told the woman, "We no longer believe because of what you said, since we have heard for ourselves and know that this really is the Savior of the world." God, we come before you this morning. We're grateful for your word, and we're asking that you would speak to us today as we look at what it means to be a harvester, to share the gospel with people, to call people to look to you in life. I pray that you would speak to every single person today, that we would leave here feeling a little more inspired and encouraged to share the gospel with those around us. Of course, Lord, we pray that if there's anyone in the room this morning that has not experienced the gospel quite literally, that has not received your salvation that you offer, would you speak to them this morning in these moments that we have together? We love you. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. Well, J.R. Hill, one of our elders here at Sunrise, sent me and Chris an article earlier this week. It was an article or just a link to Apple's top 24 podcasts of this year. And it had several different little categories there. And one of the categories in this was the top 10 most shared podcasts of 2024. Interestingly, 2 of the 10 were reading through the Bible style podcasts. 2 of the 10 were reading through the Bible style podcasts. And it led me to several conclusions. Number one, there are people all across our country, thank the Lord, who are reading the Bible and taking seriously what it means to understand the scriptures. Secondly, there are people who are encouraging those around them to read through the Bible. There are disciple makers across the country who are doing everything they can to make disciples and calling others to read the Bible. So that's encouraging. Thirdly, it told me that there are people interested in reading the Bible, which then leads me to believe that there are people interested in the gospel message of Jesus Christ. We have been celebrating baptisms all year this year. And there was a couple year stint in the life of our church where we didn't see a lot of baptisms. I want to encourage you in this. Several of the baptisms that we have seen this year and that we will see coming up in the next week or so are people who heard the gospel message from a believer in their life, or at least someone who invited them to church. That is how we see the gospel message go forth. It's not primarily just through lost people coming into the doors, although we welcome lost people into our house It typically happens when we step out in faith and boldly proclaim the gospel to those around us. So here's our big idea for today. Prioritize being a gospel witness. Prioritize being a gospel witness. Now in our text for today, Jesus had just got done declaring to the woman at the well, the Samaritan woman, that he is the Messiah, it's the only recorded instance in Scripture before his death that he actually confirmed to someone, yeah, I am the one. Of course, his disciples were aware, but Jesus rarely did this. He did this for the Samaritan woman, told her, I am the Messiah. His disciples come up now. If you recall, his disciples had gone away to get some food for Jesus. So his disciples come back with the food, and what they encounter is Jesus talking to a Samaritan woman. Not just any woman, though. She had a past. She was broken down. She was struggling in life. She was a social outcast. So the disciples walk up, and they see Jesus talking to this woman, and they have questions going through their minds. Jesus is their rabbi. He is the one that has been discipling them. And Jesus is breaking a major rule in culture. And that is men don't talk to women in public settings like this. This is a big no-no, especially for a rabbi. So the disciples, we read in Scripture that they are thinking this. They're looking at Jesus thinking like, what is he doing? Like, what is he up to? That is a woman, and that is a Samaritan woman. Now, they didn't know her past, but they have all these alarms going off in their mind, like, what is our rabbi doing? What is he thinking? You know? But none of them say it out loud. And we know what it's like to be in that setting. Everybody's thinking it, but nobody's going to say it. So you can kind of picture the disciples like, are you going to say it? I'm not going to say it. They're like, no, no one's saying this thing. We're not going to say a word. Probably because they knew Jesus had an explanation. They just didn't bother asking for it. Well, here's what's going on with Jesus that we've covered the last couple of weeks. Jesus broke social norms. He was willing to cross barriers. He had a different perspective in life when it came to cultural norms in society. We can take a note from Jesus when it comes to our gospel sharing. In Jesus's mind, everybody should be invited to the table of grace. Number one from this text, we're going to pull this. Share the gospel with everybody. You're like, well, duh. That's real profound. Thank you if you're thinking that. Now, here's what I mean. Too often, we share the gospel with people who look like us, who talk like us, who smell like us. That'd be kind of weird. Probably not doing that. We share the gospel with people like us. And we're not willing to cross kind of our own comfort and share the gospel with people a little bit different. And that's what Jesus is showing, exemplifying to his disciples. He's willing to cross all barriers, and he extends this table of grace. He extends the gospel to every single person that he encounters. And he's about to teach a little lesson to the disciples that the gospel is literally for everybody, not just the people that look like them, not just the Jews, but everybody. And he's wanting to point out to them, and it's going to be a conversation around food, the essential mission that he's been called on and that he is calling the disciples to. So share the gospel with everybody. Now what happens in the story is the Samaritan woman, I don't know if she rushed off because his disciples showed up, but we see there in the text that the Samaritan woman rushed away to go tell other people about Jesus. And we think she kind of rushed away because John the evangelist makes sure we see in verse 28 that she left her water jar there at the well. So she ran off. And what a shift in demeanor for this Samaritan woman to at first be cautious to talk to Jesus, who was a Jew, knowing this really shouldn't be happening. she rushes off to the very ones that she felt socially outcast from to tell them about Jesus. And what a stark difference between the disciples who have been following Jesus compared to this Samaritan woman. She's willing to cross whatever barriers that are there to tell people that she has encountered somebody who knows everything about her. Now, there's still some doubt in her mind. In fact, we read in the text that she's like, I think he may be the Messiah. Do you think he's the Messiah? He literally knows everything about me. He has shared all these little details I didn't think other people knew about, or at least he shouldn't know about. And they were convinced enough because these other Samaritans, her people that she interacted with, rushed off to go and find Jesus. So number one, we need to be a people who share the gospel with everybody. If you want to prioritize being a gospel witness, share the gospel with every single person that you encounter. We read on starting in verse 31. In the meantime, the disciples kept urging him, Rabbi, eat something. But he said, I have food to eat that you don't know about. The disciples said to one another, could someone have brought him something to eat? Jesus responded, my food is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work. Secondly, find nourishment and sharing the gospel. Find nourishment and sharing the gospel. The disciples, again, they rushed off. They got food for Jesus. They brought it back. Jesus is standing there, and so the disciples urge Jesus, eat some of this food that we have brought you. Jesus responds with a real cryptic response. Again, this is what Jesus often did. We've pointed this out last week. You read throughout the Gospel of John, you see these interesting things that Jesus says. He responds with this real cryptic response. I'm going to read it. He says, I have food to eat that you don't know about. The disciples are like, what is he talking about? In fact, they're thinking internally, maybe they're talking to each other like, maybe someone brought him food. Like, what's going on in Jesus' mind? Here's what Jesus meant by what he said. My priority right now in being on this planet is not my physical needs. My priority is spreading the gospel message. My priority is loving people. My priority is wanting the people around me to be nourished with the one thing that's actually going to cure them. My priority, he actually goes on to say, is to essentially do the will of the Father. I find nourishment and satisfaction in doing the Father's will that he has called me to on this planet. I find nourishment and satisfaction in obeying my Heavenly Father. In fact, he says, my goal is to finish the work that he has called me to. And that word finish you should pay attention to because it pops up later on in the Gospel of John, in John 19, verse 30, which is when Jesus was hanging on a cross, dying for you and for me, and he declared, it is finished. The work is done. So what Jesus is trying to press into his disciples is, I find nourishment in fulfilling what God has called me to do. My mind right now, he was thirsty. We don't read that he drank. He was thirsty. He was likely hungry. But he's trying to press into these disciples. I am focused on the cross. I am focused on the mission that God has called me to. That is where I am looking in life. Essentially, he's exemplifying what we read in Deuteronomy 8:3, which we read, man does not live by bread alone. Jesus lived that out. What about you? Let me ask you, do you find nourishment in gospel sharing and being a gospel witness? Does it satisfy you? Do you know what that feels like? Let me ask you another question, and you fill in the blank. What is getting in the way of you prioritizing being a gospel witness? And you fill in that blank. Cry out to God and ask him, what is it in my life? Because we've all been there. Confession, I love sharing the gospel with people. And praise the Lord, I have story after story to share, but this semester, these last few months, man, it hasn't been quite the priority I would like it to be. Very convicted studying this week, and I was asking myself that question, like, what is it? I'm trying to fill in the blank. What is it? You go to God and ask, what is it that is keeping you from prioritizing sharing the gospel in your life? That is between you and God, but we are certainly being called, just like Jesus, to find nourishment in sharing the gospel. Verse 35, we read, don't you say, there are still four more months, and then comes the harvest? Listen to what I'm telling you. Open your eyes and look at the fields, because they are ready for harvest. The reaper is already receiving pay and gathering fruit for eternal life, so that the sower and reaper can rejoice together. For in this case, the saying is true. One sows and another reaps. I sent you to reap what you didn't labor for. Others have labored and you have benefited from their labor. Thirdly, don't put off the harvest of today. Don't put off the harvest of today. Jesus leans on this proverbial saying for them at the time. And it rung true when you were doing the crop thing, which I've shared. I've tried this. I'm terrible at producing anything naturally. I go to the store. But they at the time didn't have a store to go to, and they would plant seeds and wait for the harvest. And typically it was known that you plant the seeds and then you water and you wait 4 months around to go and gather the harvest, to reap what you've sown. And so he was like, I know y'all know this, that you sow the seeds and then you wait 4 months, you sit back and wait patiently, and then you're going to go and reap what you've sown. And then he kind of flips the script on them and he says, but that's not how we handle the spiritual things. And he calls his disciples to open their eyes. Remember, they have shown up. He's likely figured out they're confused why he was talking to this Samaritan woman. So they've shown up. They're confused. What is Jesus doing? What does he mean about this food thing? And this is weird. So he's trying to say, open your eyes, because there is a harvest of people before you that are ready to be harvested. Lift your eyes and see that there are people among you who are ready to receive me for the very first time. Don't put off the harvest of today. But again, we struggle with putting off the harvest of today. How many times in your life have you said something like this? My plan is to share the gospel with this person next week. I'm going to see them again. I'm still praying about it. You know, I just don't know if it's the right time. So next week, I'm going to invite them to church on Easter. Like, that's the big day. I'm going to invite, or Christmas Eve, that's the perfect time. I've got that circled in my calendar. I'm going to invite her to our Christmas Eve gathering. It's going to be amazing. Candlelight. She'll really like. How often have you had every intention to share the gospel with someone, and then you look back over the last 6 months and think, man, I haven't, still haven't done it? Too often we struggle with putting off the harvest of today. Sometimes we get so set on what we have set for our day that we miss it and we put off the harvest of today. A few weeks ago, I arrived here on campus around 7:20, and I pray with a group of men at 7:45, and so my typical routine is I walk into the side door here, I listen to the band play, I drink some water, you know, I don't like water, and I come in, and then I go and pray at 7:45. This instance, there was a homeless person literally camped out by the dumpster around 7:20, and I knew I need to say something to this person. I need to talk with them. But I didn't. I was so set on, like, well, I've got to get in here. I need to have my water, and then I need to go and pray. Like, that's a real righteous thing to do. But I put off the harvest of the day. I haven't seen that person since then, and I don't want to give this impression that we're not ministering to the homeless people around this area, because we are. They frequent our campus. In fact, we've had some wild instances where they just walk in to upstairs when we're as wild. I've got some stories, but it's not that we don't minister, but in that moment, I was way too focused on what I was going to do for today and put off the harvest of today. And what Jesus is calling us to do is lift our eyes and see that there are people all around us who are ready to receive. And you know what he's reminding the disciples of? Hey, someone has come before you to the tune of John the Baptist. He doesn't say John the Baptist, but you know what he says? Somebody has already sown seeds in these Samaritans around you and these people around you. John the Baptist has. See, you have no idea your coworkers, your friends, that person you run into the grocery store, you have no idea who has sown a seed of faith in them before you. You have no idea. There could be a praying mother behind that friend of yours that's just begging God for someone other than her to come up to them and say, hey, let me tell you how much Jesus loves you. They've been praying for 10 years, 15 years, 20. You have no idea all these people you interact with who's been sowing seeds of faith. And that's what Jesus is telling the disciples. Hey, the time is now. In fact, he's leaning on Amos 9:13. It's a prophecy from one of the 12 minor prophets, where essentially we read that there's going to be a time of not just sowing, but reaping as well. And he's telling the disciples that that new age is here now. There's sowing and reaping going on. Don't put off the harvest of today. And that's the fourth point. Be a sower and a reaper. Be someone who's planting new seeds of faith in someone, and be someone who's calling people to Jesus as well. We got to get to work. We got to prioritize being a gospel witness. The hard part about sowing, though, sowing is you don't often get to see the fruit of your labor. And we know what that's like. And I'll, in my experience over sharing the gospel for years, is I don't often get to see the other side of the story. And it feels so pointless, right? Like you share and share and share and nobody comes to know Jesus. But you got to stay at it and keep sowing those seeds of faith. The reaping's the fun part. When you share the gospel with someone and they get saved, like that's like the aha moments. But Jesus is calling us. God's calling us today when it comes to being a gospel witness, is to sow seeds and do the reaping. We need to prioritize it. When I think about sowing seeds and I think about like you just don't know like what God can do in someone's life. See, that's one of the problems we have, is we assume like what could happen in that person's life if we share the gospel. So some people we look at and think we're going to get nowhere with them and there's just really no point. You've done it before. No point. And so then we begin to write their story as if that's our job to do, right? You don't know. You have no idea what happens when you choose to share the gospel with someone. You have no idea how far one gospel conversation will go. I debated on sharing this story because genuinely not attempting to elevate myself in the least bit. But a few years ago, one of my areas of influence is our local gym. Hard Body. I like putting the name of the gym out there. And have shared the gospel with a lot of people in this gym. And there was one guy in particular, a guy named Lee, that I had the privilege to talk with about Jesus. He's a dear friend of mine now. And we interacted about Jesus a good bit. And there hit a point one week where he'd actually texted me and said, hey, man, can you send me some of those scriptures that you'd quoted before centered around Jesus? Yep, absolutely. Here you go. And Lee, in the few months that I was talking with him, ended up going to church. He didn't come here. And yes, like I thought, like, why wouldn't you, like, what the heck? Why wouldn't you choose Sunrise, you know? He went to a church down the road, First Baptist Fort Walton. My dear friend, Pastor Wade, pastors over there. That's where he went on Easter. And I'll never forget getting a text from him saying, you know, it was essentially, I went to Easter today. Amazing experience. I can't wait to tell you. And I saw him at the gym later that week. And sure enough, Lee gave his life to Jesus. Isn't that amazing? Like, Lee gave his life to Christ. I had the privilege of being part of the sewing team. Thank God, First Baptist Fort Walton stepped up and helped finish his story. And Lee got saved, baptized. This past summer, his wife got saved and has been baptized. And they're active members at First Baptist Fort Walton. And now Lee has this amazing, amazing ministry where every single Friday, he and his wife get to the church house early and they make homemade burritos and they just go to hand them out to the homeless. I have a picture here for you. Piper and I went and joined him. That's Lee. And look at the smile on Lee's face. That's a life changed. And every single Friday, Lee and his wife show up in that kitchen at First Baptist Fort Walton. They fund this whole project on their own, and they make awesome burritos, and they just drive around. It's called a Burrito Friday. They just drive around, hand out burritos to homeless people, pray with them, and tell these men and women that Jesus loves them. It's amazing. It's a miracle. And again, I share that story because you just don't know what God will do in people's lives when you take a faith step, put away all the like, oh, what if they don't like talking about Christ? In my lifetime, when I act normal, like a normal person and talk about Jesus, most are receptive and they'll talk with you. Most are. So we got to prioritize being a gospel witness. There's four ways that I think we can do a better job at this. And I encourage you to ask the Spirit to work on your life in this. But number one, pray on a weekly basis for lost people. Pray on a weekly basis for lost people. Pray for lost people by name. By name. People that you're going to interact with throughout the week, be crying out to God for those individuals by name. Because newsflash, you need the Spirit of God with you when you're engaging them with the most miracle of all miracle stories. Pray for people by name. You have no idea how far those prayers will go. Secondly, we could put that point up because I'm going to draw a blank. Show genuine love and care to lost people around you. So genuine love and care to lost people around you. What do I mean? There are needs everywhere. Go meet needs. Go cut someone's yard. Take them to the airport. Visit them in the hospital. If they have a financial need and God has blessed you financially, meet the financial need. One of the greatest ways that you can be a gospel witness in lost people's lives is to meet the needs around you, to show genuine love and care to lost people. Thirdly, and this should be the obvious one, share Jesus with lost people. Tell lost people about Jesus. Actually take the bold step to say, Jesus loves you. I heard one pastor encourage his flock to just say, just utter the name of Jesus. If you don't know what else to say, and it may be kind of weird, you can just say, Jesus. It's like the most church answers of all church answers. But actually mention the name of Jesus to people. Tell them how he's impacted your life. Fourth, and this is one of the most important ones, don't wait until you know everything about the Bible. That day will never come on this side of heaven. Because I think that's the big thing. Well, I don't know everything. I don't know all the scripture. I don't know all the verses. I'm right there with you. In fact, these scripture that I reference on Sunday, that's like a lot of prep work, like, all right, this one, then this one, then this one. I'm forgetting it in the next few weeks. It's not like I've got this bank full of knowledge that I just can't. No, don't wait till you know everything about the Bible to start telling people about Jesus. If Jesus has impacted your life, if you've gone from death to life, you have a story to share. Let's pray. God, just want to take a moment right now. In fact, I want to encourage everyone in the room. We're going to take a moment, Lord, and just cry out to God for the lost people that we know in our life that need Jesus. So do that. Just want you to beg God, call these people out by name. Ask God to save their life. God, we are so grateful that we can call people's names out to you like we have in these moments together. Lord, help us be bold with the gospel. Help us prioritize being a gospel witness. All too often, I'm sure all of us in the room at times have gone weeks, months, some years without telling someone that Jesus loves them. Lord, give us boldness. Thank you for the privilege, the gift really, that we get to carry and extend to others. Saving faith. Jesus, what a miracle. And as we approach this Christmas season, Lord, majority of the world knows that this Christmas season is around a guy named Jesus. They know that. Lord, may we up a little bit more how much we talk about Jesus this year. Knowing that most of the people we interact with will at least be receptive to a conversation around who Jesus is. We love you. Thank you for Jesus. It's in his name that we pray. Amen. Hey, you can go ahead and stand up. We have one last song of worship. If you need someone to pray with, we've got some of our prayer team. It's going to be over here on my left. People with a purple badge, they would love to pray with you. If you feel led to come down here at the front of the stage and pray for a lost friend or a lost family member, do it. Don't ever underestimate the power of prayer. And let's prioritize being a gospel witness this week, mainly by sharing the gospel with everybody.